didn't work. The driver wanted Reacher more than he wanted an undamaged front bumper. Reacher got halfway to the ground, and then he heard a snick and a crunch as the transfer box changed down to low-range gearing, ideal for pulling stumps or for crushing chrome. The engine roared, and all four tires bit down hard, and the truck pushed forward against nothing except the resistance of its own sheet metal. Both ends of the bumper shrieked and deformed and then crumpled and flattened, and the truck kept on coming, 1 inch, then two, then three. The tires turned slowly but relentlessly, one knob of tread at a time. The bumper crushed from the outside in, grinding and scraping, as the massive V8 torque turned the bulbous cosmetic panel into a piece of flattened junk. Now the center of the bumper was 6 inches from Reacher's chest, and it kept on coming. The bumper flattened all the way to where the steel brackets bolted it to the frame. Sterner stuff. The engine roared louder, and the truck dug in hard and squatted and strained on its suspension. One front tire lost traction for a second and spun wildly and spattered dirt and stones and shredded pieces of bramble into the wheel well. The whole truck rocked and bucked and danced in place, and then the tire bit again and the tail pipes bellowed and the steel brackets collapsed and gave an inch, and the truck lurched forward 4 inches from Reacher's chest, then three. Then the brackets gave a little more, and the hot metal touched Reacher's coat. Time to go. He turned his head sideways and pushed up on the chrome with his hands and forced himself downward, like immersing himself in water. He got halfway there, and then the sheet metal itself behind the bumper started giving way, shrieking and bending and crushing, the curves inverting, the contours flattening. The engine roared, and the pipes bellowed louder, and the truck lurched forward another inch, and the center of the bumper tapped Reacher on the side of his face. He scraped on down, one ear on the hot chrome and the other on the cold granite. He kicked and scrabbled with his heels and got his feet out from under him, and he forced his butt through the brambles and got down on his back. Right above his face, the last tiny triangle of clear air disappeared as the fenders gave way and what was left of the bumper folded violently into a forward-facing point and hit the granite. The driver didn't let up. The guy kept his foot down hard. Clearly, he didn't know exactly where Reacher was, because he couldn't see. Clearly, he hoped he had him pinned by the chest. The truck bucked and squatted and pushed. Reacher was flat on his back underneath it, straining tires to his left, straining tires to his right, throbbing exhaust pipes above him, all kinds of ribbed and dirty metal components inches from his face. Things were racing and whirring and turning. There were nuts and bolts and tubes and belts. Reacher didn't know much about cars, didn't know how to fix them, didn't know how to break them, and he had no tools anyway. But did he? He patted his pockets out of habit and desperation and felt hard metal inside. Dorothy's silverware from breakfast. The knife, the fork, the spoon, heavy old items, hastily concealed, never returned. He pulled them out. They had long, thick handles, some kind of early stainless steel. Right above his nose was a broad, flat pan on the bottom of the engine block, like a shallow, square container seen from below, black and dirty. The sump, he figured, for the engine oil. He saw a hexagonal bolt head right in the center of it for changing the oil. The guy at the service station would undo the bolt and the oil would come out. The new oil would go in the top. The guy at the service station would have a wrench. Reacher didn't. The engine roared and strained. The truck shook and juddered. Reacher scuttled backward a yard and got his hands way up above his head, and he clamped the knife handle on one side of the hex bolt and the fork handle on the other. He held them tight with thumbs and forefingers, and used half his strength to keep them hard together and the other half to turn them counterclockwise.
Nothing.
He took a breath and clamped his teeth and ignored the pain in his arms and tried again. Still nothing. He changed his technique. He clamped the bolt with the very ends of the silverware handles held between his right thumb and forefingers, and he used his left hand to rotate the whole assembly. The bolt moved. Just a little. He took another breath and held it, and clamped hard until the flesh on his fingers was crushed white and flat, and he eased the knife and the fork around. The bolt was set very tight, and it turned and grated reluctantly, and grit and dirt in the threads threatened to stick it fast, but he kept on going, smooth and steady, breathing hard, concentrating. And after 2.5 turns, the oil inside must have started seeping out and flushing the threads, because all of a sudden resistance gave way, and the bolt started moving fast and smooth and easy. Reacher dropped the silverware and scooted farther out of the way and used his fingertips high above his head to spin the bolt right out. The engine was still revving hard, and as soon as the bolt was out of the hole, the enormous pressure inside just dumped the oil out on the ground in a half-inch jet. It hissed and hosed and splattered on the frozen dirt and bounced back up and coated the nearby brambles, slick and black, hot and smoking. Reacher got his arms back down by his sides and wriggled out under the rear of the truck, feet first, on his back, the undergrowth impeding him, tearing at him, scratching him. He grasped the rear bumper and hauled and pulled and twisted himself up in a crouch. He wanted a fist-sized rock to bust the rear window, but he couldn't find one, so he contented himself with banging on it with his hand, once, twice, hard and harder. And then he turned and ran.